because they refused to receive the Son of God as the Messiah. They answered the question, but they wouldn't see it in Christ, would they? Wouldn't see it in Jesus. And then in verse chapter 23, then Jesus speaks to the multitude. It seems to me as they give up and left, and as he speaks to the multitude, he tells them what the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel really are. Now this is bringing in now the 24th chapter, his rejection and what people they were. And I'm not going to read all this, but I want us to see there are five indictments in the first eight verses. Five distinct indictments concerning the leaders of Israel. One, they don't, you observe the law. He didn't tell them that forget the law of Moses. He said, reserve it and do. But do not after ye after their works, not after the scribes and the Pharisees. Don't do it like they do, for they say and do not. And then the second one is they bind heavy burdens on people that they can't bear. The third one, in the middle of verse 5, they make broad their philosophy, their outward appearance, and enlarge the borders of their garments. They make an outward show of them. We have this in Christendom, with their robes and their dresses and their, the way they're dressed, not dresses, but the way they're dressed and their collars turned around backwards and all these things is all for show. And that's the way they did. Fourth one is they love the uppermost rooms in the feast. They wanted to be big shots. They wanted to be up in front. And then the fifth one is they greeted in the marketplace and call men master, master. We have the same thing to do. They call men today reverend, the very most reverend. And Jesus says there isn't anybody like that. You don't call anybody master, even Christ. He's the only master. Don't call anybody reverend. No, there is no reverence. Only Christ is reverend. Everybody else is brethren, verse 8. So all of these are what they were. Then from verse 13 through 16, we have four woes upon the scribes and the Pharisees. They're called hypocrites. All the things they really were inside. And in verse 17 and 19, they're called fools and blind. Then in verses 23 through 29, we have four more woes concerning them. The scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. And then in verse 33, they're called serpents and generation of vipers. Now this is what they were that rejected the Messiah. Verses 37 through 39 is Christ weeping because of what they were. That they weren't godly at all. They were only professors of godliness. And he wept, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings. And notice this, you would not. Final rejection of Christ. Because of this, he goes in to this discourse of the destruction of Israel. Destruction of Jerusalem, actually. Notice the conjunction starting this sentence. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He turned from them. He left the house of Israel. I was thinking there was a verse in there that I missed. I should have read. Oh yeah, verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. This is the house we're talking about. And so Jesus went out. He left this and departed from the temple. So this was the serving of him with the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon the other, another that shall not be thrown down. Now this had, a twofold fulfillment. One in the body of Christ at his crucifixion. The other one at 70 A.D. We might notice in John 2, verse 18 with it. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up, or build it again in 3 days? but he spake of the temple of his body. So this has a twofold fulfillment, one in the temple of his body, which was destroyed and raised in 3 days. The other one was the temple in Jerusalem, which was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD. If they would have received their Messiah even after his resurrection, the temple would have never been destroyed. But we do know there was one. There's two little words. I want to bring out a little bit of Greek here. I usually don't do that, but I think it's needful to understand what's going on in these verses. The phrase, see ye all these things. I want us to look at that just for a minute. It's blepete. My lips don't say what my mind said. Blepete is from the Greek word blepo, which means to see with visibly with your eyes. Ooh is just simply a negative word, not see or don't see. Here he's saying, don't look at these things. Don't look at these things. Katu panta. Don't look at these things, pointing, talking about the things they were showing him of the building of the temple. Don't look at these stones. Don't look at these beautiful things that you're pointing out. You see, the word show here comes from a Greek word that means to put on exhibit, to point out. They were pointing out all the beauty of the temple as they came out, his disciples were. And he says, don't look at these natural things, because there isn't going to be one stone staying upon another. Another thought here that I think is needful, the word not here, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. The word not is interesting. It's a compound negative word, ume. Now, u is negative and me is negative. Both of them means no or don't, or however we're using it in the sentence. They're just simply negative words. But when you join them together, you're enforcing what is said. And it's usually translated no, in no way, or by no means. That's the way it should be translated when these two are put together. And this is what Jesus is saying. There shall be by no means one stone put upon another. All these things are going to be destroyed and cast down. Then in verse 3, they go to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples ask him privately. Now from now on, we're just talking to the disciples. Before, in chapter 23, we was talking to a multitude. And the multitude no doubt heard what, many of them heard what was saying coming out of the temple. But now, from verse 3 on down in this, he's talking simply to the disciples. And they ask him three questions in verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, a better rendering of this, the end of the world, should be the consummation of the age. The Greek word aionos is used there for our world, not cosmos, which is usually word. The word aionos means a time or an age. And the best rendering of that is the end of the age or the consummation of the age. There's not going to be an end to the world. The world will be changed and renovated, but there won't be an end to it. Fourth, to answer these questions from verse 4 on. Now I want to give you an outline of this, and you can write it down. Verses 4 through 14, Jesus goes through the 7 years of tribulation. He goes through Daniel 9:27. This is an epitome of Daniel 9:27. Verses 15 through 22. Am I going too fast? Verses 15 through 22 start at the middle of the week of Daniel 9:27 and go through this period. Verses 23 through 31 again starts back over the whole tribulation period and goes through it again. Now, in some cases, Jesus is repeating himself. Some cases, he's telling something different. That there's nothing wrong in repeating as long as we're teaching and don't repeat too often. So let's look at these. We're going through the 7 years of tribulation. So none of this from verses 4 through 31 has anything at all to do with the Gentiles or the church. So he's answering the questions, what shall these things be? When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? Now this coming is not to the coming of the church, but the coming to set up a kingdom and the consummation of the age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This is error that will come in this world. And as we approach the end of the time, and as the next age comes in, error shall get greater and greater and greater. But many shall say, I am the Messiah. We have a few like that today saying, I am the Christ. And many are deceived by it, but it's going to get worse. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war, and see that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. Notice the word must there. They must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Now we see some of these things, but we only see them at a distance today. I don't believe the bride will see very much of the wars and rumors of wars. We have skirmishes here and there, around the world, troubles. It's going to get worse. This is just, these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. Now we've seen some of this, but this isn't necessarily what Jesus is talking about. It's only a prelude of what is yet to come that we're seeing today. But it's going to get greater than what we read here. Then verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. It's going to get worse than this. It's just the beginning. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. They won't be able to even trust one another. And many false prophets shall raise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The end of what? The end of the tribulation. See, this has nothing to do with people today. The legalists use this to say, see, you have to endure to the end if you're going to be saved. But this has nothing to do with our salvation. It has to do with salvation from the tribulation period. And those that do endure to the end of the tribulation will be saved from a physical death, is what he's talking about. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to them that come, the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So this takes us down to the end when Israel will evangelize the world. People say that the church is to get out and evangelize the world. This is not our calling. This is Israel's calling to do that. And all the world, there'll be a witness to all the world and to the nations, and then will be the end. Verse 15, we start in the middle of the week here, the abomination of desolation. Remember, Daniel said in the midst of the week, the sacrifice will be taken away and abomination set up, which make it desolate. When you see this abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. This will begin the last 3.5 years. Well, this will be in the 3.5 years. The beginning of the last 3.5 years will be when Satan is cast out of heaven. He'll take away the sacrifice and abomination and desolation. But when this will be a marked point, though. And when you see these things happen, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. It's going to be so terrible, they had better get out. And don't waste any time doing it. If he's on the housetop, let him don't stop for anything. Let him get out of it. Verse 18, if he's in a field, don't go to his house for his clothes. Just run. Because it's going to be a terrible time. Woe unto them that are with child. Why are they so terrible? Because they can't run very fast with a child. Those that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. Nothing to hinder as you leave. It's going to be so terrible. Notice verse 21. And then shall that great tribulation, which was not since the beginning of the world unto this time, nor ever shall be, except the days be shortened, there be no flesh to be saved. For the elect's sake, God is going to shorten these days. And we studied this in the 12th chapter of Daniel and proved that he has shortened it 250 days in order to save the human race. I want to make one more statement about this. This phrase, the Great Tribulation, has to do with the last 3.5 years. This is not the same as we have in the 7th chapter of Revelation. We might turn over real quick and look at that in verse 14 of Revelation 7. Innumerable company, we read, has come out of great tribulation. Now, this has an article in front of tribulation and actually should be translated the tribulation, the great one. You see, the tribulation is divided into two parts. The first part is judgment upon the nations for not giving the kingdom over to Christ, who rightfully deserves it. The second half part is upon Israel that has accepted another Messiah other than Christ. So it's divided in the first part. The first part is actually 1,010 days of judgment upon the nations. And this is what we're talking about here. Tribulation, the great one, concerning the Gentiles. But the one we're reading of in the 24th chapter of Matthew is the last 3.5 years, our tribulation upon the Jews. And it's going to be much greater. And it's going to have to be shortened, or there wouldn't be anybody left on the earth. Everybody would be slain. But for the elect's sake, for God's people's sake, the remnant of Israel, actually there'll only be about a third of the people left. Then verse 23, then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, believe him not. This word then refers back to the same time as verse 6. Verse 5 refers back to the same time, or the beginning of the tribulation. So we go back to people who say that they're Christ. And here is Christ, don't believe them. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets. And there's many of them, even today. There's one, the false Christ, which is the Antichrist, and the false prophet. But we're not talking about them especially here. We're talking about anyone that is false. They shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as if it were possible, they would fool the very elect, or those that God's hand is upon. They cannot be fooled. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go out, don't believe him. Or he's in a secret place, don't believe him. For as a lightning cometh out of the east, who shineth in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is the speed of his coming. This had nothing to do with his coming for the church. It is his coming to set up a kingdom. And wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. The fulfillment of this is seen in the 19th chapter. Might glance at that real quick. From verse 17 through 21 of Revelation 19, we have the answer to this. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls of the air, the meat-eating birds of the air that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and all them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, and small and great. So he's going to call in a special group of meat-eating birds to eat the flesh and clean up the mess, I guess that's the best way to say it, of that day. And so we see that here in verse 28. And immediately, then, see, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. This will be the consummation of the tribulation. The moon will not give light. Stars will fall from heaven. Powers of heaven will be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the man, the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ will come and reveal himself to all them of the tribes of the earth. And they'll mourn, and they see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven. And we see the answer to this again in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And he shall send his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds of the earth. In other words, all the Jews from the whole world will gather together that are left after the tribulation is over upon the earth. All right, verses 32 through 35 is a parable of the fig tree. And we, as I mentioned before, the fig tree represents the two tribes. And we can see this in a measure taking place now, although it has direct reference to Israel. So learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, know ye that summer is nigh. Now everybody knows these things by nature. So by nature, let's look and see what's going on. And when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So we're talking about the two tribes. We're talking about Judah. And we have seen the fig tree putting forth its leaves. In 1948, April of 48, they were declared a nation. And we saw the leaves beginning to take beyond the fig tree. We know that it's time for a change of the seasons. Paul made this statement in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, but the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. We should know the times and the seasons. And I believe this is for the church to see this, that it's time for summer to draw nigh. So likewise, when you see these things, the fig tree in the spiritual putting forth its leaves, you know that it's near, and near even at the door. And this generation, that when they begin to put forth their leaves, shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Now, I don't know how long a generation is. If you had asked 10 people, you'd probably get 10 different answers on how long a generation is. I don't know what God calls a generation. But whatever he calls it, that generation shall not pass away. Now, we've had a little over 40 years, so we know we're getting close to this generation passed away, don't we? He didn't say it will pass away. He says it won't pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but these truths that he establishes is certain, and it'll not pass away. And then he goes on into the conditions that we see in the last days. Again, this is not the church's last days. This is last days concerning the setting up of the kingdom on earth. But of that day and hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Now they use this, a lot of people use this, saying nobody knows when Jesus is coming for the church. And this is true, but they take it out of context when they apply it. We don't know when he's coming for the church. This is a true statement. But that isn't what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about when he comes to set up a kingdom. And then he uses Noah's time as an example. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Not to the church, but to his people. So Noah preached 120 years. And as it was in those days, they rejected the preaching of Noah. They mocked him. And so judgment came upon them because of rejection. So shall it be to Israel that rejects the teachings of the truth, especially the teachings of Christ right here. Judgment is going to come upon them in a time they know not. They'll be taken away into judgment. These verses that follow this is talking about not taken into heaven, but taken into judgment. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other one left. And yea, over and over again I've heard people say, oh, one will be taken to heaven, the other one left. This isn't what he's talking about. He's going to be taken into judgment, and the other one left alive. One will be slain because of the judgment, the other will be left alive. Watch therefore, and know not what hour your Lord come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If they would have only know. Now there's two Greek words here for know. The first one is oida, which means a positive knowledge. In verse 43 is the word gnosko, which has a progressive knowledge. So if you'd have known positively when the Lord come, then you would have had it been, you would have known these things that and been able to protect your house. But you see, they didn't know. They were ignorant. And they are ignorant today. Even after the Gentiles have been preaching the coming of the Lord now readily. Verse 44, therefore, be ye also ready in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Again cometh to set up the kingdom. Now verses 45 through the remainder of this chapter has a little different thought. There is an overlapping of time, and you've heard me talk about this, haven't you? At the beginning of this age, there was an overlapping of time in which God continued to deal with Israel and began to deal with the church. At the end of this age, there was an overlapping of time in which God will cease dealing with the church and begin to deal with Israel. We're living in this overlapping of time right now. And this is what we're talking about from verse 45 on. These things that we see is in a time pertaining to both. There are truths that can be applied to both. And this is what we see in this portion. We haven't had it before. In verses 45 through 51, this is the faithfulness. We're talking about faithfulness and unfaithfulness in the last days. And then we go right in chapter 25, we go right into the same thought, not changing, but we're talking about readiness of his coming. From verses 1 through 13, we're talking about the readiness. Then in verse 14 on, we're talking, 14 through 30, we're talking about the misuse that we see in this days. Mistrust that God can't trust. Can't trust people on the earth. We'll look at these relatively fast. I just wanted to give an outline of what this is. So in verses 45, we're talking about faithfulness. Whether in the church or in Israel, these truths are remain the same. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his house, and given them meat or food in due season. He took care of them and made them ruler over, gave them a responsibility, made them shepherds over the people. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, find them so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. Now these are true statements. Whether we're talking about the church or talking about Israel. God has some faithful servants today in which will rule with him. He has some unfaithful servants, but he has some faithfuls. He has some faithful among Israel that will rule with him in a different measure than when the church rules with him. But this takes faithfulness, doesn't it? Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over his good. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming. Now we have those that put off the coming of the Lord. I heard one man make the statement. He says, well, I believe that he's coming, but it'll probably be 1,000 years from now or so. He won't be here in my lifetime. And some don't even believe he's coming at all. Some don't believe he came before, even. These are the evil servants, or the unfaithful. And these, again, are professors that are not possessors. They really don't possess much. And they shall smite their fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunkards. And the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looked not for him, and in the hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him portions with the hypocrites. If he wants to act like a hypocrite, then let him suffer with the hypocrite. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.